Just leave your darn out of the kids' monitor. Lean back and stay a while now.
I'm your host, Brad Crandall, and in this half hour, Joe Garagiola will talk about one of the great golf champions of all time, and we'll hear about a growing threat to today's youth. First, Monitor Music. Let's hear the relaxed voice of Dean Martin, singer, actor, and noted temperance lecturer, as he sings, Lay Some Happiness on Me.
Lay some happiness on me.
Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Orlon 33 Acrylic, the DuPont carpet fiber that never gets tired, and Mohawk Carpets.
Golfers say they play against the course, not their opponents. I'll be back to discuss a golfer with a different theory. But first, some carpet talk. I want to tell you about this new carpet we got. It's called Mohawk Mode, made with pile of lively Orlon 33 Acrylic by DuPont. You know, we went out and looked at all kinds of carpets, from bargain price to really expensive. And we agreed that Mode was the best buy. Orlon 33 makes it super springy. And it stays that way no matter how long you and the kids tromp around on it.
Springier, bouncier, it's a carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Oh, yes. One thing more about Mohawk Mode made with pile of Orlon 33 acrylic. You can cover a whole room for about $200, complete. Since we put Mode in our house, it's hard to keep our shoes on.
Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Professional golfers like to say that when they play in a tournament, they play the course instead of playing their opponents. In other words, what the other guy does isn't important, only what they do themselves. That's probably true. But there was at least one golfer who approached the problem a little differently. But then, he approached everything in life a little differently. And that could be only one man, the great Waller Hagen. Today, Waller Hagen sits in his home in Traverse City, Michigan. He has lost the power of his voice due to cancer. But he hasn't lost his famous smile. And he has a supply of memories that must furnish him with a lot of reasons to smile. The word you hear a lot in sports today is psyche. It means the ability to influence your opponent's thinking. Waller Hagen probably never heard the word when he was one of golf's greatest players, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a master at it. In 1914, Hagen was entered in a tournament in Florida. He looked over the list of other players and decided that Jock Hutchinson was the man to beat. He invited Hutchinson and a few others to ride to the course in his brand new touring car. When the appointed time arrived, Hagen didn't. There were no cabs, and everyone started to get just a little bit nervous. Finally, Hagen showed up a half hour late. Everyone climbed in the car, and Waller proceeded to make up the lost time. He drove at top speed, took every corner on two wheels, and finally arrived at the course. After a trip like that, Hutchinson was in no condition to play golf, and Hagen won the tournament easily. A lot of people have heard about Hagen's performance in the 1927 PGA tournament in Dallas. That was the one where Hagen played in the finals against Joe Turnessa. All day long, Hagen kept conceding his opponents putts from 6 to 10 feet. On the 18th green, Turnessa had an 18-incher. He kept waiting for Hagen to concede, but Waller said nothing. Turnessa missed the putt, lost the tournament. 2 years earlier in the same tournament, Hagen had a variation of the same thing. He was playing against Leo Deagle, and they were all tied up after 38 holes. On the 39th, Deagle had a 2.5-footer for a tie. Hagen watched Deagle study the putt from all angles, then walked over and hit Deagle's ball away, saying, "I'll give you that one." Deagle was so surprised at that, he walked up to the next tee and dubbed his drive only a few yards down the fairway. Hagen won the hole and the tournament. In another match, Hagen found himself down 3 holes after the first 9. On the 10th tee, he turned to his opponent and said, "You're shooting very well. Which is your stronger hand, the right or the left?" Hagen's opponent hadn't been thinking about it, but that question got him wondering. Chalk up another victory for Hagen. There aren't many golfers I'd follow around for 18 holes, but in Waller Hagen's case, I think I'd make an exception. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports, and now this for Vigoro.
When the green in your grass is gone, and you gotta make it shape up, make it wake up with the bold green figure of Vigoro. The bold green figure of Vigoro.
You bet. And the answer is simple. Every Vigoro product is tailor-made for the area where it's sold. That's the secret behind the bold green vigor of Vigoro. Vigoro for goof-proof lawn foods. You sure ought to try them.
Joe Garagiola is heard every weekend on Monitor. Time now 15 minutes after the hour with more of everything coming up. So stay with us, won't you? Right here on the Monitor Beacon. This is a song about the lonely life of a lady who loves a seafaring man, the sea.
My man is a handsome sailing man, the captain of his crew. He goes with the sea to distant lands, and he stays a year or two. I have his name, I wear his ring, but I found from the start, though I keep my vows and keep his house, the she-sea keeps his heart. Oh, the sea, the she-devil sea, my lover loves her better than me. By the sea, the she-devil sea, I weep for my love, and she laughs at me. Times when he's sleeping in my arms, I hear the jealousy raging and wild. She raves and storms because he's here with me. And as he wakes, I kiss his lips, and his desire I stir. But with the dawn, he'll soon be gone, and he'll go back to her, to the sea. At me, the sea.
most of us, the term narcotics peddler brings to mind the picture of a depraved adult preying on innocent young people. And until fairly recently, that picture was a true one. But now, it appears that the young people themselves are becoming increasingly involved in the vicious drug traffic. According to Mr. Burnell Blanchard, Southern California Director of Narcotics Enforcement, he discussed this frightening development with reporter Roy Neal.
Recently, as I understand it, Mr. Blanchard, you've been seeing more and more overlap between the two.
Yes, where I considered major peddlers to be strictly among the adult class, I find now, and particularly in the last few months, where we are finding what we call major peddlers among high school children. One of our agents just the other day purchased at one of our local high schools marijuana in kilo quantities. Now, we had to overcome an obstacle because we had to wait until 3:30 till these dear little kiddies got out of school so they could sell us kilo quantities of marijuana at $100 a kilo. Now, these are major peddlers. My question now is, what will happen to these major peddlers? Will they be returned to that environment where they can spread their wares and addiction among the high school children?
You mean, Mr. Blanchard, that you can't put them in jail?
They are treated as juveniles. And the juveniles, they have petitions filed against them. They're not treated as adult criminals, naturally. And I don't advocate that they do. However, I do hope that the judges will look at this particular instance in a different light, because this is not simply a child smoking a marijuana cigarette on a single occasion. These are major peddlers being turned loose inside of the school.
What kind of drugs do they sell?
Marijuana and primarily dangerous drugs, that is, the pep pills and the goofballs or the sleeping pills, the barbiturate group. And I might add that we had a 14-year-old girl that sold one of our agents 10 kilos of marijuana. That's over $1,000 worth of marijuana.
Is there any specific group of children that could be singled out as the prime offenders?
No. No longer can we say that this is a minority group problem. This is a problem reaching into every facet of this community.
Is the problem peculiar to Southern California, or is it a national problem as you see it?
It's a national problem, but primarily a metropolitan problem. It's a big city problem. We don't find it in the volume in the smaller rural communities.
What are the faculties in these schools? Can they do anything about it, or do they, in some cases, even share the problem with their students?
Well, speaking of sharing the problem with their students, I'm reminded of a situation which has just occurred in a northern college where an anthropology professor came and demonstrated to his class how to smoke marijuana and then passed the cigarette around where eight or more individuals took a drag from the marijuana cigarette. I say that we should take a very, very close look at the professors in some of our colleges that are proselytizing the youth of the nation in the use of dangerous drugs. There is too much permissiveness on the part of the community toward this type of action.
Obviously, the problem exists. What would you do about it to eradicate such problems from our society, Mr. Blanchard?
Well, it's fourfold. You have the legal problems, the medical problems, the enforcement problems, and primarily, I think, the principal problem is the educational problem. I don't believe that we're going to solve this problem excepting through educational processes. Now, that's going to take long-term procedures. The Attorney General has already started a program whereby we can better educate the teachers on how to reach the student and how to prevent drug use. It's too late after the drug use has started. We must reach these people before the drug use commences.
Teachers and perhaps parents, too, should join in such a move. We've been talking with Mr. Burnell Blanchard, Southern California Director of the State Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement, about some of the problems of children and narcotics. This is Roy Neal, NBC News in Los Angeles, for Monitor.
Once again, Monitor Music. Here's Jimmy Rogers with I'll Say Goodbye.
Now that the summer's come and gone, I'll say goodbye. Now that the winter's coming on, I'll say goodbye. I'm not the first man or the last who had a thirst to leave the past. So while the autumn rain is falling, I'll say goodbye. For every star that falls to earth, a new one grows. For every dream that fades away, a new one grows. When things are not what they would seem, you must keep following the dream. So while my heart is still believing, I'll say goodbye.
I'll say goodbye. I'll say goodbye.
Cage a bird, he will not sing. I can't be caged in by a ring. So while the chilly wind is blowing, I'll say goodbye. So as the winter says hello, I'll say goodbye. I never ever did like snow. I'll say goodbye. I'm just a man and nothing more. In the face of love, I close the door. 'Cause another rose is calling. I'll say goodbye.
Speaking of saying goodbye, you may have read the news story about the man who didn't. Helmut Winter, the German marksman who's been firing dumplings at low-flying airplanes from a homemade catapult, came down with an attack of acute indigestion this week and had to postpone a projected trip to the United States. The newspaper item doesn't specify exactly what struck the dumpling shooter down, but, well, you can hazard a guess. You suppose he nibbled on some of his ammunition? Bahama Sound, a new one from George Martin. This is Monitor, the best sound around for keeping up with the weekend world, whether you're at home or in your car, anywhere around the country. In the heart of the Shenandoah Valley, our friends listen to us on station WSVA in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Now, a quick roll call of all our NBC stations, then more of Monitor 67.
Monitor reaches all America on the NBC Radio Network.
Thank you.
This is Brad Crandall, back with more of Monitor 67, your up-to-date vantage point on the weekend world. Coming up, an interview with a songwriter who uses popular music as an instrument of international understanding. First, let's hear from a pair of Sinatras, Frank and Nancy, as they get together on their big current bestseller, Something Stupid.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. Then afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you, for me it's true and never seemed so right before. I practiced every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come true. I think I'll wait until the evening gets late and I'm alone with you. The time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. Your perfume fills my head, the stars get red, and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I love you.
Now, here's one of the great American popular songs of all time, one you're sure to recognize, although you may have never heard it sung just this way.
Где там в Париже лепит каштана столик в кафе под крышей листвы.
That tune, April in Paris, was the work of songwriter Vernon Duke. But why in Russian? Well, the answer is that Mr. Duke is very busy these days reaching the Russian people through music and other means. And his interest in Russia was explored by reporter Charlie Holmes.
Vernon Duke, I believe Russian listeners know you by another name. What is that name?
Well, it's really Vladimir Dukelsky, although I sincerely doubt that anybody remembers me in Russia by any name. Some of which very effective if you like that kind of thing. I don't.
Well, let's turn again to your musical program that you're doing for Radio Liberty. I'd like to hear George Gershwin's fascinating rhythm done in Russian.
Well, that was quite a task, believe me, because it's even difficult to sing in English. Somehow I managed it in Russian.
Well, let's listen to it.
Непонятный ритм, со мной несется скач. Непонятный ритм, я очарован. Необъятный ритм, не вникну, хоть заплачь. Необъятный ритм, скажи хоть слово. Как только встану я поутру, а нет покоя он за мною, а по ночам он явится вдруг. И снова точно оговорится.
What does a bright tune like that say to the Russians about us?
I can answer that, I think, rather simply. What passes for popular music in Russia still leans rather heavily on waltzes, oddly enough, tangos, and for some strange reason, rumbas and various derivations from the Latin American lore. An American jazz tune, especially one that probably would not be considered as such by the real New Orleans fanciers as fascinating rhythm, which was a highly individual sort of a number, is almost unknown to the Russians. I mean, they would find it probably difficult not only to sing it, but even to play it. Mm-hmm. And yet the exhilaration of that rhythm excites them, because it is something they're not used to.
I want to thank you very much, Vernon Duke, noted American composer, for telling us about Radio Liberty and your musical series, Beamed to the Soviet Union. Will you visit us again, please?
I certainly will, and I enjoyed it hugely. Thank you.
This is Charlie Holmes for Monitor.
A look at the current activities of Vernon Duke, author of Autumn in New York, I Can't Get Started with You, and Cabin in the Sky, among many other hits. Now, a somewhat more recent star on the musical horizon, Robert Goulet, who rose to prominence as a musical comedy star, singing a new one, One Life, One Dream. You're tuned to Monitor 67 with more of everything ahead, including Ted Webb with Sport of Speed. So stay tuned. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hello, Brad. This is Lee.
Yes, my boy. I can see.
Let's discuss.
Without fuss.
The way we handle
calls for Crandall.
And for Leonard.
Splendid.
I mean.
Oh, no.
I mean.
How so?
On the phone. I insult you.
My dear boy. And the result?
They call again.
Good grief. When?
Every day.
You don't say. Now, I'm nice.
No advice?
Oh, I'm nice.
That's twice.
On the phone, I'm polite.
My good man, is that right?
Well, they keep calling.
How appalling.
Every day.
What a way.
It seems clear to me.
We don't quite agree.
Ah, but I know.
On your show.
The caller's all clamor.
Well, Lee Leonard's glamour.
And Brad Crandall's wise winning ways.
Listen to us on WNBC.
And call us at Plaza 78866.
Weekdays from 1 till 4.
Weeknights from 9 till midnight.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of conversation.
Brad Crandall here for Monitor 67. And now at the Monitor Sports Desk, here's Mel Allen.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend checkpoint for Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the many service stations from coast to coast that carry a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted will be along in just a moment. First of all, let me say this to you. You know, there's a good reason, a very good reason, why we always suggest that you try a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Now, that's not just idle talk. It's not just another commercial claim. It's a proven fact that crude oil from the wells of the Pennsylvania region produces motor oils of superior lubricity, or oiliness. Pennsylvania motor oils are today's best motor oils because they start with nature's best crude. Can you imagine what happens to inferior oil when it's being thrashed around several thousand times a minute at turnpike speeds? Well, you can be sure your car's engine is really protected when you choose a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. It holds up. And say, don't forget about those rally kits the refiners of Pennsylvania motor oils are offering to sports car clubs. You get 6 checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 sanctioned rally scorings. To get a rally kit for your club, send $1 to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. The 1967 series of United Road Racing Championship events started today at the Stardust International Raceway at Las Vegas, Nevada. The 180-mile event for sports cars was won by Mark Donahue in a Lola Chev. He averaged 107 miles an hour for the distance. Runner-up was Sam Posey of Sharon, Connecticut in a McLaren Chev. Third was Lothar Motschenbacher of Beverly Hills, also in a McLaren Chev, followed by Bill Eve of Huntington Beach, California, in a Lola Chev. Moises Solana of Mexico City, in the same make of car, was fifth. This is Ted Webb from Trenton, New Jersey Speedway.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania motor oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania motor oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
Now, Monitor's answer to Senator Dirksen, a man who never spent a day in Congress, Ed McMahon, with Beautiful Girl.
Into a little girl's room one night, her father tiptoed to put out the light. He bent down to kiss her and then tuck her in tight. And he sang to her softly a song of good night. A little girl tossed in her bed that night. She wanted her daddy to tuck her in tight. A wind touched the curtains and sighed as it blew. And a voice seemed to whisper to someone it knew. Beautiful girl, lying there. Ribbons of velvet in your hair. Sleep like an angel.
Saturday afternoon monitor host Ed McMahon. A beautiful girl is something you see quite often in the United States. But now, here's a song about something that is very seldom seen. Miniskirts in Moscow. This is Monitor 67, one of the better ways to relax and enjoy the weekend world. I'm your host, Brad Crandall, reminding you that NBC News on the Hour is upcoming, and then we'll be back.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is your station, the pulse of the nation. It's NBC.
It takes all kinds of people to win the fight against cancer. Your American Cancer Society has given lifetime research professorships to brilliant scientists with highly varying backgrounds. a Belfast-born pathologist now working in Kansas, a Russian-born doctor and teacher fighting cancer in a New York laboratory, a Missouri-born biochemist researching in Tennessee, a former member of the Italian underground now doing counter-espionage against microbes in Massachusetts. Those you love. Know cancer's warning signals and give generously to the volunteer of your American Cancer Society's New York City division. It takes volunteers and money to help win the fight against cancer. It takes all kinds of people and your American Cancer Society's New York City division.
Know stock answers in Brad Crandall's Store of Knowledge, weeknights at 9 on the Big Voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.